This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's do this, is what Carrington would say to Brad, but they're not here. You got me, Sports Machine Sean Levine, on the mic, taking you up until 6 o'clock right here on The Drive, 610 Sports Radio, and all over the world on the radio.com app. Spinning the wheels across the glass, that good-looking gentleman, that is Jason Katz. If you want to chime in on our conversation, pick up the phone, 913-576-7610. That's the number. The Protein House Eat With a Purpose text line is now open at 69306. Coming up in about 10 minutes, for the first time today, we'll step inside the mind of the machine. Because I know you guys want to know how I feel about that guy in Houston who wandered into a house to smoke a little bit of weed and there ended up being a live tiger in there. We'll get to that coming up when we get inside the mind of the machine. I've got some guests lined up for you as well. National NFL writer Matt Verderam, Matt Tate from KUSports.com and the Lawrence Journal World, and our own Royals insider Cody Tapp will join us along the way. And if you, and this is just an open invitation, if you know somebody, or maybe you yourself are employed by, I guess it would be MoDOT, the Missouri Department of Transportation, whoever is in charge of the pothole situation going on right now in Kansas City, or maybe you're just smarter than me. 913-576-7610. What in the hell is going on? I don't understand. And again, I'm not the brightest star in the sky. I failed plenty of classes in college, but I don't understand the physiology. I don't understand what is actually happening right now with the streets in Kansas City. I get it. You've got the temperature change, and when it's real cold, then it warms up a little bit in the direct sunlight. None of this explains a Kauffman Stadium size hole that my car rolled over no fewer than, 15 times on my drive here. And if there's a street that has worse potholes right now than Ward Parkway, hit me up and let me know on the Protein House Eat With a Purpose text line at 69306. Because, Katz, if you've taken that road in the last couple of weeks when we've had this drastic change of weather,
it's not good. Not good.
It's worse than not good. It's unbelievable. It's shredding people's tires. It's adding time to people's commutes. And quite frankly, it's flat out dangerous. And I say it half serious, which means I'm half joking. But the serious side kind of pisses me off. It's really unbelievable to me that if you live in the certain suburbs, let's just call it, Leawood, Overland Park, kind of the area where I grew up, do they make the streets different? Is it literally consisted of a different material or type of concrete? Because for whatever reason, you don't have to deal with that nearly as much. And then you hit the Missouri side. You get to State Line. You get to Ward Parkway. And all of a sudden, whatever I just drove on is not a street.
No, yeah. That's one thing as a lifelong Missourian.
Not known for your streets, Katz.
Not known for the streets. We do have the cheapest tobacco taxes and gas tax.
Missouri's got a lot of good stuff going for them.
We got some good
their
stuff.
Their streets,
but
not so much.
You get the good with the bad. But I've heard Ward Parkway's been pretty bad. I-70 has had some rough patches as well. But
the highways is real serious because it's unavoidable.
Oh,
same
sure.
thing with Ward Parkway. But if you're a member of the Missouri Department of Transportation, if you can explain to me exactly how a pothole gets to be 4 feet in circumference and another 6 feet deep, hit me up, 913-576-7610. I'll move you to the front of the line, and you can explain to me and the rest of my Kansas City brethren and sisters out there what in the hell is going on with our streets and when we can expect them to be somewhat normal. I digress. We get into the world of sports. We're going to talk plenty of KU basketball. Of course, we'll talk some Chiefs offseason, and the Royals season is officially here, I guess you could say. Spring training gets underway today, so coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, we'll talk some boys in blue with our new Royals insider, Cody Tapp. Let's start things off talking some KU basketball, because I really think in their next two games, we're going to find out if they can right the ship and keep doing what they've been doing really the entire time since Bill Self has been the head coach. What is it? He's been there for 15 years and they've won 14 Big 12 championships. If they're going to win another one, I think we're going to find out in the next 2 weeks, because you could look at their schedule and say the team probably, their record probably is a little bit better than the team actually is. If you go up and down and you see that they've played, count them, not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but six games that have been decided by less than 5 points. They've played three games in overtime, and quite frankly, away from Allen Fieldhouse, they're just a bad basketball team. And most of the time, that's the case. Most of the time, when you play at a place like Phog Allen, for a coach like Bill Self, with the talent that KU gets, you lose maybe one game a year, two games a year in a bad season at home. Don't look now. The Jayhawks are actually unbeaten inside of Allen Fieldhouse. So coming up in about a week when they play number 23 ranked K-State, I think that game's going to go a long way in determining whether it's going to be KU who wins the Big 12 this year or K-State or somebody else. And again, as bad as KU is on the road, they're just as good at home. So I think that K-State game is going to go a long way to who wins it. And so is the Texas Tech game coming up on Saturday. So back-to-back games against the top 25 on the road at number 14, Texas Tech. I'd be surprised if KU wins that game. Based on their resume that they've put together this season, when they have to play a team that's ranked, that's hot in their stadium, KU does not win games like that. So I think depending on what happens against Texas Tech and then K-State is going to determine if KU wins both of those games, all of a sudden you look at the standings, they're back on top, all's right in the world for Jayhawk fans. But the truth is, if they lose, man, they're not just looking up at K-State and looking up at Texas Tech, but they're two games behind both of those teams with just a handful left. So I think if they split them, then there's still a chance that KU racks up their 15th straight title. If they lose both, there's no chance. And if they win both, we're going to have that conversation. Once again, it looks like the Jayhawks are going to win the Big 12. But let me say this, and I don't know if this is a really bold prediction or a really obvious prediction. This team ain't making the Sweet 16. I don't think this team is good enough, based on what I've actually seen, to win two games in the NCAA tournament. I know that sounds like blasphemy. I know there's plenty of people that are like, all right, KU fan, all right, KU grad, the sky is falling, because all of a sudden you're not going to be a number one or maybe even a number two seed. Here's the problem with KU basketball, and there's a lot of them, so I don't know exactly where to start. One, they don't have that dog, right? They've got a guy that stuffs the stat sheet in Dedrick Lawson, and don't get it twisted. His numbers are that of an All-American. I've got the stats right here in front of me. Dedrick Lawson has very similar stats to guys like Frank Mason and Devontae Graham when you talk about points per game. Just a shade under 20, 19.2 points per game to go along with 10 rebounds. Here's the problem. He's been the only consistent player for this team this whole season. And Bill Self said it a couple of weeks ago, because you can tell that he's finally starting to get a little bit frustrated, because it seems like KU fans and KU haters alike have been saying the same thing for a decade plus now. It's not that KU is really good. It's not that they're better than everybody else. It's just that the Big 12 sucks, which I say not true. Think about how many times this conference has had the National Player of the Year that wasn't a Jayhawk. Buddy Hield, Blake Griffin, Michael Beasley, Kevin Durant. And the common denominator has always been the same, that KU has come out on top. But I think the reason for that is because they've always had that guy. You know who I'm talking about. Whether it was last year and Devontae Graham, who had 20 points a game or just under, ended up being the conference player of the year. Or the year before that, a guy in Frank Mason, who was the National Player of the Year. Even a couple of years before that, you had the Joel Embiid, Andrew Wiggins team who could just out-talent everybody. Or just before that, you got that Travis Relaford team with all those guys, a bunch of experienced players. And then right before that, you got the national championship team with Mario Chalmers and Shady Arthur and Brandon Rush and Sharon Collins. My point is, this team is different. The actual makeup is completely different for a couple of reasons. One, And you could see this heading into the season. They didn't have a Devontae Graham. They didn't have a Frank Mason. They didn't have that guy that's kind of been through the battles, that stubbed his toe, that's also had success wearing the KU uniform. If you look up and down this roster, and maybe that's part of the reason also why I'm finding it a little bit difficult, just compared to other KU teams, to attach myself to this one. It was really easy to get behind the national championship team, right? A bunch of guys that were there for 2 or 3 or 4 years. It was really easy to get behind that Andrew Wiggins and Joel Embiid team, right? Tons of NBA talent. The last couple of years, Devontae Graham's team, Frank Mason's team, pretty easy to root for. This year, who's the guy, KU fan, that you can kind of attach yourself to? Dedrick Lawson, as good as he is a transfer. He was this good last year. Literally. He's averaging 19.2 points per game this season. This time last year at Memphis, he was also averaging 19.2 points per game. But Bill Self said it a couple of weeks ago, and he's the first one to say there's no excuses. But sometimes it's not an excuse, it's reality. And the reality is part of the reason why the Jayhawks are going for their, count it, 15th straight Big 12 championship is because the lack of injuries. Think about all the talent that they've had, and then think about how many times that guy or guys have gone down. And I'm not saying that it hasn't happened at all. You can think about a couple of years ago, like Joel Embiid had some injury issues while he was at KU. But nothing like this season. I mean, going into this year, the plan was Dedrick Lawson would probably be your most experienced and probably end up being your leading scorer, and that's been the case. But besides that, nothing has gone according to plan. Udoka Azubuike, some people thought, was going to be, I don't know, one of the best, if not the best, big man in the country. Well, he's played all of 9 games, right? Marcus Garrett has been injured. You haven't gotten a ton from your freshman, not to mention whatever's going on with Silvio De Sousa. And now it's been 3 or 4 years where it feels like the shine is maybe kind of starting to go away, because when's the last time that it's been smooth sailing for a KU basketball season? When's the last time as a fan you didn't have to deal with the outside crap? Whether you want to go back 5 years ago to whatever that was with Cliff Alexander, or last year, whatever that was with Billy Preston, or whatever's going on with Silvio De Sousa. And the only reason I'm so vague about it is not to protect my school. It's because I don't really know. I can do research like you can. I can Google Cliff Alexander at Kansas, but the truth is, I'm not exactly sure what happened there. Same thing with Billy Preston. You've heard this, then a story comes out. I don't know. And same thing with Silvio De Sousa. So again, it's been a long time since it's been a quote-unquote typical KU basketball season. And then the big elephant in the room is this. I keep talking about KU basketball. I don't really know what's going on because they're kind of vague. LeGerald Vick. Anybody that's been paying attention, again, I don't care if you're the biggest KU basketball fan out there or if you're a hater. LeGerald Vick has been a square peg in a round hole since the minute that he got to KU. Who couldn't see that? You know who could? Bill Self. And you know what Bill Self said? There's literally printed articles mentioning this. Bill Self said at the beginning of the year, or I should say this offseason, that if LeGerald Vick is going to continue playing college basketball, that they've come to a mutual decision. This is a quote. That he's going to play that somewhere else. Has anybody seen the Seinfeld episode where Costanza gets fired on a Friday and then he comes back on Monday and he just goes into work? And they're like, dude, we fired you on Friday. He's actually, yeah, it's no big deal. Well, I'm supposed to be here. What do you mean I got fired? To me, it's a very similar situation. It's weird. By the way, we'll talk more Seinfeld coming up when we step inside the mind of the machine. At some point, Ketz is going to ask me who's higher. We'll have a President's Day edition of Pick a Player and several guests along the way. Keep those texts rolling in on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line at 69306. Coming up next, we're going to talk about sports right here on The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Happy President's Day to you. Is that something people say? Ketz, happy President's Day, buddy.
Yeah, likewise.
I should have got you something. I feel bad.
according to Scott Parks over on BZ, this is not a holiday, even though it technically is.
I believe officially it is a holiday. You know how I know that? Because there are no cars in our parking lot. Therefore,
that's fair.
It is a holiday. That's Jason Kett, Sports Machine, Sean Levine, taking you up until 6 o'clock on The Drive, 610 Sports Radio, and all over the world on the radio.com app. Get to a couple of these texts on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line from the 816. Hey, weather machine, how much snow will we get? Bro, I don't know. That was funny like a few weeks ago when the snow just started coming down. But at this point, I just wake up and I expect to have to go out there and scrape off my damn car. And
we're good tonight, but we're going to get some snow apparently tomorrow night into Wednesday.
And you know one thing that I can't stand? And maybe, again, I'm not the brightest star in this guy, so this seems like a mistake somebody should make once and then never make again. I don't like the tube of toothpaste when you take off the lid and there's still a little piece of tinfoil on top of it. To me, once you take off the lid, it should be ready to use. What's the stuff called, Kets, when you spray your windshield to get rid of the ice? You know what I'm talking about? The de-icer stuff, the yellow bottle. I can't remember what
I know what the hell is it called.
Anyway, that product also has a little piece of tinfoil on the thing. So every time I get a new bottle, I spray it all over myself. And it just pisses me off. From the 913, hey, Sports Machine, you still think KU loses the Big 12 this year? Oh, yeah. C-Dot and I have a cool $100 bet on that one. And, yeah, I think he's going to have to pay up. From the 913, okay, now they're trying to answer the question that I posed. The reason for the potholes is because when the trucks come to move the snow off the road, it's mixed with the salt. That doesn't even make any sense. From the 816, the streets are just as bad in St. Joe. I can only imagine how bad it is just outside of Uncle D's, because quite frankly, those weren't exactly the best streets anyway. Okay, everybody's telling me that it's the salt in the roads that causes the... I just assumed and didn't do any research that it was the drastic weather changes that we've been having. I assume that because one day there's snow on the ground and the next day that it's 55 or 60 degrees, that can't be good for anybody. It can't be good for the roads, but a lot of people are telling me that it's because of the salt. Anybody that actually knows what they're talking about, like if you work for MoDOT, hit me up at 913-576-7610 so we can get to the bottom of these giant potholes. But right now, let's step inside the mind of the machine. Because I've seen potholes my entire life, but for some reason the last couple of weeks, it's not like they're twice as big, or three times as big, or three times as many. They're 10 times as big and 100 times as many. Something's going on, but I digress.
Something was definitely going on in Houston last week as a guy was smoking weed in an abandoned house and found a tiger. What would you do in that situation, Levine?
I think that the first thing you have to do... is finish the joint or whatever you're smoking. I mean, if you decide to smoke weed and go into an abandoned house, obviously you're taking a risk on several levels anyway. I'm not sure what the marijuana laws are in the city of Houston or the state of Texas, but something tells me you can't just walk down the street and burn one down. I know that in any city, it's not legal just to step inside of an abandoned home and just decide to burn one down. That being said, Kets, if I am burning down a joint and I step inside of a house and there's an abandoned tiger, or I should say an abandoned house and there's a tiger in there, you've got several choices. The first thing to do is just turn around and run and pretend like that never happened. Your second option, I guess, is to try to reason with the tiger, but as far as I know, the giant cat species, you're probably not going to reason with him. I guess you could offer him a puff or something. Then the question becomes, at what point do you get the police involved, if at all? So you ask me, what would I do in this situation? So if I'm being honest with you, and my plan is to smoke a joint and step inside an abandoned house, and I end up seeing a tiger there, I'm just going to enjoy it. Knowing, and the cops are probably not going to get involved. Knowing that this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, that this is probably going to be the story that's on my tombstone, like the craziest thing that's ever happened to me, I'm just going to finish it up, sit back and enjoy it, and maybe have a conversation with said giant cat. That's it. Although now that I think about it, I probably should call the police because maybe the tiger needs to, you know, have somebody come in there and take care of him since he's been put... How the hell does that happen? On the real, though, how does that happen?
Wish I could tell you. Down there in Houston, remember, tigers like cinnamon. They don't like pepper.
Thank you for that. By the way, did you know that there are, I think this fact is right, there are more tigers being held as pets in the state of Texas than at every zoo in the United States combined. Do the research on your own. For some reason, people in Texas, I know they like things bigger down in Texas. They like to have tigers as pets. I'm telling you, they're all over the place. If you just Google tigers, tigers in Texas comes up. Let's move on. What's next?
Speaking of tigers.
Oh, okay. We'll go back to tigers.
You had to bet on it. Will Tiger Woods win a major this year?
The Vegas odds are about 3-1 that Tiger Woods actually wins a major this season. I think that he's going to win a couple of tournaments. I think that he's close to back. But here's the thing. When you talk about Tiger Woods, what does back, quote unquote, really mean? Because at one point, and we're talking about 10, 12 years ago at this point, Tiger Woods was the most dominant individual athlete that I've ever seen, including Mike Tyson, including whatever tennis player you want to throw out there, and it wasn't even close. And it was because of his mental edge, right? Tiger Woods had the competition beat before he even stepped onto the golf course. He doesn't have that anymore. Everybody's caught up to him when it comes to the mental advantage and also physically. So does he win a major? Sure. I'll say, yeah, Tiger wins the Masters this year. Are you happy? What's next?
Made a hell of a poll yesterday, just trying to get back into it as well. What were you watching last night, the NBA All-Star game or the UFC fights?
I was flipping back and forth. If you missed it, I don't blame you, because for some reason the UFC and ESPN thought it would be a good idea to have a fight on Sunday night with the main event, Francis Ngannou taking on Cain Velasquez at 11 o'clock. I don't know what you're doing at 11 o'clock on Sunday night, but maybe, what's the word I'm looking for here? Sleeping? Weird timing. Weird day of the week. I was watching mainly the NBA All-Star game because I had a $5 bet to win $500 that Ben Simmons was going to have a triple-double. Didn't happen. What's next?
It's hard to believe, but Seinfeld has now been off the air for 20 years. As an expert, what are your five favorite episodes?
Five favorite? Wow, it's hard to narrow them down, man. Soup Nazi's got to be up there. The Keith Hernandez episode has to be up there. Let's revisit this one, because I want to do my research to make sure that I actually give you my five favorites, because quite frankly, I've never seen it. I think I've seen them all at this point. I've never seen a bad one. And that's tough. I've never seen, because think about like movie series. If they make two or three or four movies, at some point, one of them is going to suck. For example, Rocky, most of them really good. Not all of them. For example, Fast and Furious, most of them really good. Not all of them. Think about your favorite TV show. At some point, there's an episode you're like, yeah, that one. I've never seen a Seinfeld episode that sucks. So coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, we'll get back to that. I'll give you my five favorites. What's next?
The new college hoops poll is out. Where's KU? Where's K-State? Did anything surprise you at all?
KU's ranked number 12. I guess that surprises me a little bit, since they're 20-6, and quite frankly, they should be probably, I don't know, 17-9. And if you're 17-9 and don't have the name Kansas next to you, you're talking about a bubble NCAA tournament team. Fortunately, the facts are KU's 20-6 and they're ranked number 12 and they are called Kansas. So they're going to make the tournament, but for the first time in Bill Self's career as KU head coach, they're probably not going to be a 1, 2, or 3 seed. And K-State is ranked number 23. If you're curious, here's the top five. Duke, Gonzaga, Virginia, Kentucky, and Tennessee. After Kentucky beat Tennessee, Kentucky moved up three spots. Tennessee actually went from number 1 to number 5. Houston is in the top 10. What a weird top 10, bro. Nevada number 6, Houston number 9. What's next?
A few days ago, the idea of NBA Commissioner Adam Silver switching over to the NFL was brought up. After thinking about it, is it such a crazy idea?
Speaking of the NFL, coming up in 5 minutes, we're going to visit with national NFL writer Matt Verderam. I'm going to ask him, what are the obvious things the Chiefs have to do this offseason? At first, when I heard the story, I thought, that's just filler sports talk radio. There's no way that could happen. And then I thought about it a little bit more. Why couldn't it happen? What does the commissioner of a sports league really do when it comes to the everyday? It's not like he's making up the rules like fumbles and three-point line and that kind of stuff. It's basically a communication job. It's taking care of a lot of people, a lot of really rich people. I mean, Adam Silver, when he takes care of the players, yeah, they're rich because they make like $10, $15, $20, $30 million a year. That's nothing compared to the owners, that every single one of them are billionaires. So the real job is just communicating with really rich people. If it works in the NBA, it would certainly work in the NFL. And speaking of rich people, do you know how much money Roger Goodell makes per season?
Like 50 mil, isn't it?
$52 million per season. If I'm Adams, and I don't know what Adam Silver makes, but if I'm him, I'm like, yeah, I'll do it for half that. You can pay me $26 million a year.
Pay me $2 million, I'll do it.
I'll do it for 15 bucks an hour plus tips. I always said when KU was going through all their different head football coaches, whether it was Turner Gill or Charlie Rice, or Clint Bowen or David Beatty, whoever it was, I always said, why don't they just make Bill Self the football coach? Honestly, is he not going to be able to win three games a year just on his communication skills alone? I know it's a crazy idea, or is it? Coming up next, we talk some NFL with national NFL writer Matt Verderam. You got Matt and the Machine on the Drive coming up next right here on 610 Sports Radio.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
I don't even know what field of worker I'm trying to talk to. Do I want like a MoDOT employee? Do I want a construction worker? Do I want a scientist? Do I want an over-the-road trucker? Like, Ketz, who do you think knows the most about the pothole situation? Because we've gotten a ton of texts on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line at 69306, like this one from the 913. Concrete is porous. It allows water in and under it. When the water freezes and then thaws, it destroys the street. Salt helps this destruction since it turns the ice, the snow, into water. Again, that just went right over the top of my head. From the 402, potholes are holes in the roadway that vary in size and shape. They're caused by the expansion and contraction of groundwater. We'll get back to that.
I think we're getting closer to
that. Do you? Because I think we're actually taking steps back. But right now,
I think I can get it.
Let's talk with somebody that's definitely an expert on football, national NFL writer Matt Verderam joins the Drive. How are we doing, Matt?
Good, Sean. How are you?
I'm doing good. I want to talk about this offseason for the Chiefs because, to me, it's kind of split between wants and needs, between the obvious moves and the moves that, if they work out, just fine. So, first, when it comes to the franchise tag, are we both under the impression that's going to end up in the hands of Dee Ford?
I think it's a little better odds than 50-50 that they keep him on the tag. From what I understand, they're not going to retain him and Justin Houston. That's just not going to happen, barring Houston taking a major haircut. So I think the more likely scenario is if you're keeping one, you're going to tag Ford, and then you're basically paying for that tag by cutting Houston, which is, say, $14 million. So I think he's probably back. But if they talk to Houston and his agent, Joel Siegel, and say, hey, will he take half of his $21 million cap hit? And he says, yeah. Yeah, he'll come back. He wants to be in Kansas City. Then I think the real, real question as to which one of those guys they would retain.
Houston is actually where I wanted to go next. Actually, Houston and Eric Berry. Can you explain for people that just don't know the inner workings of kind of how the dead money works, where it's either you pay the guy a certain amount of money or you cut him, but you still have to pay him?
Sure. So basically, with Justin Houston, it's a little more straightforward. So he's due his cap hit this year, well, counting against the salary cap, $21 million. If they release him, they save $14 million. They get $14 million back. However, because of his guaranteed money, a few other factors, $7 million will be left almost as a penalty, if you want to think of it that way, against their salary cap just for the season. So they would be, of that $21 million, they're saving exactly two-thirds of it. Now, with Eric Berry, there's a lot of factors that go in. If he can pass a physical come March, then they have the option of releasing him. Now, if they release him prior to June 1st, there's no benefit in releasing him. I think they save like $1.5 million, and his cap hit is, I'm not looking at it right now, but $16, $17 million. They would basically be cutting him for nothing. They're not going to do that. Now, they could release him post-June 1, And what that what would happen there is they would split whatever his dead number is, they would split it between this year and next year. So they have options. Now, he's got to pass physical at first. He doesn't pass the physical. He needs surgery, something like that. Then all this is out the window, and he's on the team next year anyway. So Houston's much easier to kind of parse what's going to happen. Barry, there's a lot of moving parts as to whether or not he's going to come back.
See, people, this is what an expert sounds like. Where's the pothole expert out there in Kansas City that can explain to me the Arrowhead Stadium-sized potholes on my drive on Ward Parkway? But I digress. We're talking with Matt Verderam here on The Drive, 610 Sports Radio, and being heard all over the world on the radio.com app. So get your crystal ball out. Next year, Eric Berry, Justin Houston, both back, one back, or neither back in the Chiefs uniform?
This is what I think, and I feel this way confidently. D Ford and Justin Houston, it's a one or the other situation. They're not going to retain both. Again, barring just Houston saying, look, I'll play for a pittance, commensurate to my talent. I don't care. I just want to be a Chief. Has it happened before? Yeah. Tom Baldy years ago took a lot less money to stay in Kansas City. So is it possible? Yeah. But typically when teams go to players and say, look, we'd like to restructure, the agent will tell them, the heck with that, go be a free agent, you'll get more guaranteed money and more guaranteed years somewhere else. So we'll see how that plays out. But the overwhelming feeling with the Chiefs is that it's one or the other and that Ford's more likely. As far as Berry, it's just impossible to handicap right now. It depends on if he needs surgery. If he needs surgery, he's going to be there because he's not going to be able to pass physical. Now, the one thing that does make me lean a certain way is they've not given him that surgery yet. They've not cleared it, and they're just taking forever to do it. And I feel like if they thought he'd be back for sure next year, they would have just said the day after the AFC title game, look, go get your Haglunds before me taken care of. Go figure it out. We'll see you in training camp or maybe even the beginning of the regular season. The fact that they have not done that he has not had surgery, maybe he doesn't need it, but anything you know about that situation says he probably would. So maybe they are trying to get past where he can take a physical and he can pass it, and then they'd release him. Look, they'd save $9.5 million with a post-2-1 cut. That's a lot of money. I mean, they could basically go out and sign anybody in the league at a first-year clip of $9.5 million. So it's significant. My guess is if he can pass his physical, he's gone. But that's a guess because I don't think anybody knows yet if he can pass it.
Let's switch sides of the ball, and I'm going to bring up a scary proposition. Why would Tyreek Hill, from his perspective, not do what Le'Veon Bell did? What I'm asking is, Le'Veon Bell thought that the franchise wasn't paying him enough money, his contract was up, and he figured that he could save a little bit of tread on the tires. Last year, the Chiefs paid Tyreek Hill, who I think was one of the maybe five best wide receivers in the league, less than $700,000. At what point does he go to the negotiating table?
Oh, I think it's going to be all offseason, and the Chiefs know that. The Chiefs understand they're going to be taking care of Chris Jones and Tyreek Hill this offseason. Those things are going to happen. Hill is, outside of Mahomes, of course, arguably the most important player on the team. I mean, he and Kelce make that offense go outside of Mahomes. And Jones, you know, and I think this is a big part of the reason the Chiefs feel confident that they could move on from either Ford or Houston, is Jones is the best defensive player on the team right now, period. Like he is the biggest mismatch for any team that they're going to have to face because you just don't have interior rushers who can get to the quarterback like he can. So I think, look, ultimately with the Chiefs, with Tyreek Hill, you don't want to do the Bell thing for one reason. Le'Veon Bell, if you talk to most people in the league, feel like he made a big mistake.
Sure.
He is never going to see that money again. And there's some thought, some real thought, even within Bell's camp, that, look, do we overplay the hand? Well, we're going to find out. But there's already some concern within the league that, hey, maybe this guy's got too much rust. I think what happens is Hill's going to go to the table, okay, with his agent, and say, hey, we want $100 million over 5 years or something close to it. And then they're going to bargain back and forth. But he's going to get paid. He wants to be in Kansas City. Like he's not dumb. I mean, he understands. He is in the perfect situation for him.
Is there enough
he's
money, though? But Matt, is there enough money in the wallet for all these? It's kind of like I was on a date a few weeks ago, and I'm like, let's, how about Applebee's? Like, how about How about Kona Grill? Like, how about no? Like, is there enough money? Is there enough money to spend on all these guys? Because in theory, you're right. It's really obvious. How would you not re-sign Chris Jones? How would you not pay a guy like Tyreek Hill? But we all know next year, and here's the huge elephant in the room, the Chiefs are going to have to back a Brinks truck up to the house of Patrick Mahomes. So simple question, is the money available?
The money is available. Here's how, okay? And it comes with some it comes with some hard choices, but they're going to pay Chris Jones, and they're going to pay Tyreek Hill. I'd be beyond stunned if that doesn't happen. They are going to, whether it be this year with a major pay cut or just completely doing it next year, Justin Houston is going to be moved on from. I don't know that they're paying Dee Ford ever beyond the franchise tag. Now, look, if they tag him this year and he gets 17 sacks, then that conversation will be had. I'd be surprised if he gets a long-term deal this year, unless it is very team-friendly. They are going to move on, whether it be this offseason or next, from Eric Berry. Those are two huge contracts in Houston and Berry that you can get rid of. The cap continues to go up every year. So you can replace those contracts with Hill, with Jones. Okay, and the key to all this for the Chiefs, as it was when the Packers signed Aaron Rodgers for a huge deal and every other team that signed a quarterback big money contract, you got to draft well. Because if you draft well, you get guys on rookie deals for 4 years who are cheap, who, as you mentioned, with Hill, with 700 some odd grand. And that's the key to this. So, yes, the Chiefs do have the money once Houston and Berry are off the books. Watkins can come off the books after next year as well for a significant saving if the Chiefs want to go that route. Eric Fisher could be restructured. So the Chiefs have the money. But really for those two guys and then everybody, like getting Kendall Fuller in there, if he has another big year, that could be tough. So they're going to have to make some tough decisions. But those two guys, their priorities.
Especially because right now, I don't even think it's an argument, Matt. The Chiefs have the two best contracts in the NFL when it comes to Patrick Mahomes. And when it comes to Tyreek Hill, we're talking with Matt Verderam, national NFL writer here on The Drive. You brought up the draft. Last year, the Chiefs did something that I can't remember any team ever doing, which was spend every single one of their picks on one side of the ball. That was defense. Looking back on it, I wouldn't say that they exactly nailed that draft. What do you think the plan is this year?
Well, the feeling is that they love Speech and O'Daniel, and those two guys are going to see a significant uptick in playing time. Now, part of that is, I think, you know, we saw Speaks get better throughout the year. And Daniel, when he was healthy, actually was a really good contributor to them. And coming into that 4-3 system, Speaks and O'Daniel are going to benefit as much, if not more, than anybody, along with Hitchens. Those three guys must be thanking God every night that they went to a 4-3 because it fits them so much better than the 3-4. Now, I think in this year's draft, look, they have some ammunition for the first time in a while. They have the first-round pick. They've got a couple of twos. Granted, they're late, but they got a couple of twos. They got a third. So the Chiefs have some moves to make. It's a very defensive-heavy draft. If you look at who's leaving the team, who they might be replacing, what Connolly's going to be on, my understanding from a source is that Mitch Morris, it's unlikely that he's back. That's still fluid. If they could get a contract they really like, they'd do it. But I think they're confident with the guys behind him. They've developed really well at that position in the past. So, look, I could see the Chiefs. Demetrius Harris is going to be gone after this year. So I could see the Chiefs saying, look, maybe we take a second tight end, you know, to play second man out of Kelsey. Maybe, you know, we take a guy who we believe in a year or so could start at center. So I think it's going to be more balanced this year. The one thing, though, that they will do more than anything, they are going to address the secondary. Because they're not dumb. They understand they need another corner. They need another safety. Even if Berry comes back, they need another safety. So I expect them to have a heavy emphasis on corner and safety early, and then kind of backfill those other positions like I talked about.
Yeah, I'm with you there. The secondary certainly still has its issues. Matt, great stuff as always, man. Thanks for the breakdown.
No problem. Anytime.
National NFL writer Matt Verderam talking Chiefs, talking NFL with us here on The Drive. Coming up next, Ketz wants to know who's higher on The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
What's good in your neighborhood? Sports Machine Sean Levine on this President's Day afternoon, taking you up until 6 o'clock with Jason Ketz on The Drive, 610 Sports Radio, and all over the world on the radio.com app. Calvin Coolidge, by the way, my favorite president. Nobody asked. I'm just letting you know. Calvin Coolidge, my favorite all-time president. What the hell is going on with all the potholes? I asked, you answered. I've gotten a bunch of texts, but right now, Booger is going to try to explain to us what's going on with all the potholes. What's up, Booger?
Hey, how you doing, boss?
Hey, so what? You're a truck driver?
Yeah, I'm a truck over-the-road truck driver.
And
I was actually in St. Joe yesterday, and that's some horrible roads.
That's what I heard. I heard that the road, because I was mentioning, I was kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? I was bitching. That's what I was doing. I was bitching about the roads in Kansas City, specifically on Ward Parkway, and I got a lot of texts talking about St. Joe. Can you answer me this, though, Booger? Why? As an over-the-road truck driver, why is it so bad, and doesn't it seem like it's much worse than it usually is?
Yeah, I mean, one reason is because we've gotten a lot more, you know, snow and all that, and the temperature's rising. So the temperature rising and the water and all that and the salt and all that getting into the asphalt, that's going to kind of break it apart. Now, I used to lay asphalt, so asphalt can expand, but it can only expand and shrink so much, you know. And also with, now, air quotes, the salt they're supposed to be using now is supposed to be easier on the road. But also at the same time, when you get a little tiny hole or a little, in the road and you keep getting traffic on it over and over and over, that's going to break it up even more. And also, the guys are plowing. That plow is going to catch some of that. And that's going to mess it up.
But that explains to me what's going on. It doesn't explain to me why it's so much worse. He did bring up the salt, however. I don't know who's in charge of that, but I can tell you this. They're not very good at their job because the salt cats, whatever it was, 10, 15 years ago.
It's got to be from city to city. It's got to be from city to city. And
you're telling me that the salt that they use in St. Joe is much worse than the salt that they use in Leawood? You're telling me the salt that they use on Ward Parkway is much worse than the salt they use on Quivira? I'm just not buying it. I'm not buying it. But then again, I'm not that bright. Cats, I just really want to know who's higher.
Who's higher the chances of winning the Big 12, KU or K-State?
Well, I've got a $100 bet with my main man, Carrington Harrison. Although, for me to win the bet, it doesn't have to be K-State. It just has to be anybody except for KU. And I understand that it's death, taxes, and KU wins the Big 12. But this year, the team's just not as talented. And even though I don't think the field is as talented as it's been in the past, I think both Texas Tech and K-State are NCAA tournament locks and both good enough, talented enough, well-coached enough teams to take that title from KU. If you weren't listening about 20 minutes ago, I said it's going to come down to those next two games. On the schedule, KU doesn't play until Saturday, so they've got a few days off. But then they play Texas Tech, and then on Big Monday, they play K-State. Both teams ranked in the top 25. If they lose both those games, they ain't winning the Big 12. So as of right now, I'm going to say K-State's chances of winning the Big 12 are higher.
Get it out. Shout out the rooftops. This is great. This is the bee's knees.
Next thing for you here, who's got the higher statistical season stats? Pat Mahomes this year or Pat Mahomes next year?
Definitely Patrick Mahomes next year. Now, am I saying that what we just saw, is that going to be the best version of Patrick Mahomes? Yes. 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 With a capital Y and an exclamation point, that's exactly what I'm saying. The guy threw for 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards, and most of the time at the quarterback position, or any professional athlete, you get incrementally better, right? So as a rookie, the game's kind of fast, and then it starts to slow down, and by year three, year four, year five, you start to hit your prime, then you get your big contract, then you fall. With Patrick Mahomes, I think it's that weird scenario where he caught fire right out the gates, the same way that Dan Marino threw for, 48 touchdowns his second season, and then only threw for 40 touchdowns one more time in his career. Statistically, I don't think Patrick Mahomes is ever going to have a year like he had this season. So is he going to maybe win more games? Is he maybe going to win more playoff games next year? Yes, but statistically, I'm going to say this season's stats are higher than next.
Marino went to the Super Bowl in that second year, never made it back.
Because I got high, because I got high, because I got high.
Who has the higher chances of winning the NBA MVP, James Harden or the field?
I'll take the field because the voters or whoever gives out the NBA MVP award, they don't like to give it out oftentimes to the guy who's the best. Because if they did, Michael Jordan would be the 15-time MVP. LeBron James would be like the 13-time MVP. And if you just think about the last couple of years, I mean, Russell Westbrook won the MVP a couple of years ago. And who's the reigning MVP? The aforementioned James Harden. The last thing they like to do, unless you're a little white point guard and Steve Nash, who somehow, someway, in the era of Kobe Bryant, won back-to-back MVP awards. Huh? Unless you're him, you're probably not going to win back-to-back MVP. So I'm going to take the field, which includes guys like Giannis and Kevin Durant and Steph Curry and LeBron and all those dudes. What's next?
What are you people? On dope?
Yes, we are, Mr. Hand. Who's higher, the Royals' win season totals from last year or this year?
Last year, they lost 104 games. Las Vegas, I was just out there, has the Royals' win total this year at 69.5. So let's do some quick math. That means that they would win and lose a 90. What is that, 93, 92? Royals' wins this season or last? I'm going to say this season, their win total is higher, but I don't think they get to 70. But I don't think they lose as many games as they did last year. Let's say the Royals this year win 66 games. So my answer is this season is higher.
This one out, sir.
Can you torch me?
We'll send someone in.
Who's higher, the Royals player more likely to one day get a statue? Alex Gordon or Salvador Perez?
I think they were already breaking ground on the Alex Gordon statue 3 years ago when he re-signed that contract. And then he went out and hit, like, what, 185? And then 205? And then whatever he did last year.
He picked it up last year.
Yeah, but he didn't exactly set a very high standard the previous two seasons. And then when it comes to Salvador Perez, again, is he at the peak of his career? No, but nobody is 10, 11, 12 years into their career as a catcher at that. How do you earn a statue at Kauffman Stadium? You play on a World Series team, and you wear the Royals uniform your entire career, i.e. George Brett, Frank White. So here's my answer. Both of them. I mean, at some point, the most successful and popular era of Royals baseball is going to get commemorated more so than just in the Royals Hall of Fame. Somebody's going to get a statue. It's not Haas. It's not Moose. They're probably not going to build a statue for Ned. So it's going to be maybe Dayton. Maybe Dayton gets a statue. Probably not. Does Ewing Coffin have a statue?
Yes.
Does he? Okay, well, and I know he was an owner, not a general manager, but hell, build a statue for all of them. What do I care? It's not my money. What's next?
Are you a pothead, Falker?
No. No. What? No.
Who has the higher entertainment factor, the NBA or MLB All-Star Game?
They both suck. They're both better than the Pro Bowl, but they're both boring. If I have to give you an answer, I'll say the entertainment factor is higher for the NBA All-Star Game because they score a lot of points and there's a lot of different bets that you can make. But I'm good on both of them.
Dude, am I really high or is this actually working?
Oh, this is awesome!
Who has the higher MLB free agent worth signing? Bryce Harper, Manny Machado.
At some point, right? Somebody's going to sign these guys. Manny Machado looks like he's close to a deal with the Padres. They're offering him 8 years for $240 million. And Bryce Harper looks like, well, we've heard this before, is close to a deal with the Phillies. Perhaps the number is 10 years at $300 million. Bryce Harper's not just the most overrated baseball player. He's the most overrated athlete going today. Look at his career statistics. He hits 300, then he hits 260. Then he hits 300, then he hits 260. Last year, he hit 240-something. How are you going to pay a guy that hits 240-something 10 years for $300 million? Because he's got really cool hair and looks really cool in a uniform and was on the cover of Sports Illustrated? No, I'm paying Manny Machado. What's next?
Get it out. Shout the rooftops. This is great. This is the bee's knees.
Who's higher, the chances Andy Reid wins a Super Bowl in KC or he doesn't win a Super Bowl in Kansas City?
Oh, the chances are higher that he wins a Super Bowl in Kansas City because you have to imagine that Andy's going to be the Chiefs head coach for the foreseeable future. I'm going to say he's got another at least 5 years. He's 61 right now. That would make him 65, 66. Yes, I think Andy wins multiple Super Bowls here in Kansas City. There, I said it. That's Ketz on the Sports Machine. 1 hour in the book. Coming up next, let's talk some Royals baseball because officially spring training is underway as of today. How good is the nucleus of this team? What are our individual expectations? Best case scenario and most likely scenario. I'll tell you what that is coming in up next on The Drive with The Sports Machine. This is 610 Sports Radio.
What are you people? On dope?
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.